preach the gospel to all nations. We actually all know that the book of Luke closes with Jesus telling us to go and preach. In fact, the book of Acts opens with saying, "You will be my disciples." Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts five times give us the Great Commission to share the gospel with people. But, you know, I think a lot of us are afraid to share. It's hard to tell other people about Jesus. It's hard to explain the gospel. And I just kind of want to read a few Bible verses and help us to realize that, you know, maybe it's not a matter of obligation, not just a matter of duty, but it's also a matter of love. We tell other people about Jesus because we love, but we also overcome our fear knowing that God is already at work in people's lives. We can share the gospel not being afraid that we're going to be rejected because God is already at work in the lives of people. So this is an invitation to come. Now we're going to look at the next slide, and this is John the Baptist. He loves Jesus, and here John is baptizing. Jesus' disciples are baptizing, and the disciples come to John and they say, you know, what's going on here? All these people are leaving you and they're going over to Jesus. And he sort of reminds them, you know, the reason I came is for Jesus. There's a motivation. I kind of thought about this. In China, when I taught English at the university, I worked with a lot of master degree students, and PhD students teaching English. And one of the things that I would have them do was for their examination, they would have to prepare and stand up in front of the whole class and explain something. And I would give these different subjects. And so, you know, I one time gave them a subject, how do you say, Tan Nian Ai. You know, Tan Nian Ai. You know, how to romance. Romance in China. How do you, you know, you find a boyfriend and you get married. And I learned a couple of things. I learned that a lot of the men were very afraid. They had their fears, but their fears were like this. They were afraid that they weren't going to make enough money to buy a house. You know, and the price of houses were going up. And you know, I learned, meiyou fangzi, meiyou qizi, you know. No house, no wife. And then I learned that the women had a different kind of fear. You know, I thought it was really sad. You know, my heart was really torn. Here's all these young men, and they're afraid that no woman would ever marry them because the house prices were too high. And then I learned that the women had a greater fear. And it really made me, I don't want to say love for, yeah, I want to say love for them. I felt for them. I wanted them to be able to find somebody. And this is the story that they would tell. I heard many times. There's a term in China called, it's called Shengyu. Shengyu, right? Okay, so Sheng, leftover or remaining, Yu. You know, so it's the leftover women. Now, this is what they're afraid of. So here are these women, and they've studied really hard for the Gaokao. They get into the university. Then they spend 4 years, and they study really, really hard, Kaoyan, you know, so they can get into their master's degree program, and then they can get into their PhD program. So they focused all these years on their studying. They're studying really, really hard. And then here they are, they're 24-year-old women. You know, in America, it's a little different. They were afraid that they would go on to their PhDs and then they would graduate and be 26, 27 years old, and that when they were 27 and 28 years old, all the good men would already be taken, and that all the good men would marry girls, pretty girls that were 22 years old, and that they would, nobody would marry them. They were too old. And then on top of that, they'd say, well, we're afraid, you know, sometimes we're afraid that men will not want somebody who has a higher education. They don't want a, someone, booyah, bullshit. They don't want a PhD for their wife. You know, they want somebody with less education, and they don't want somebody who makes more money. And so here were these women that were working really hard, going through life, studying, but inside, there was a fear. Inside, the fear was that in the end, they would not have love. They would not have a husband. They would not marry. And my heart was broken. You know, you look at these young girls and they're like, you know, they're my students. But, you know, they're like daughters. And I think, you know, everybody wants their daughter to have love. And then I thought, here, John the Baptist is very similar. John has a desire for people to be in love with Jesus and have a marriage relationship. Do you remember, remember, the church is the bride of Christ. So that when we come to follow Christ, to believe in him, in some ways, the relationship is so close that the Bible says that we are the bride and Christ is the bridegroom. So there's this love relationship. So John, you know, look at this. He says to these people, he loves Jesus and he loves people and he wants people and Jesus to come together. And so look at what he does. He tells his disciples, look, I'm not the Christ. He is. But I've been sent before him, the one who has the bride, the one who should be marrying all these people, the one who should have the love relationship with all these people, is not me, it's the bridegroom. I'm only the friend of the bridegroom, and I stand and I hear his voice and I rejoice gladly. What is Jesus doing? Jesus is like a man, and John is like a matchmaker. You know what I mean by matchmaker? You know, they give an introduction to somebody so that they can enter into a love relationship with Jesus, a love relationship with Christ that is so close. It's like a marriage. And that's what we're like. We are called to be like matchmakers, you know, to introduce people to Jesus. And if we have the kind of a love for people that wants them to meet, it becomes easier to share. It becomes easier to give an introduction, and then our joy will increase. Some of this is like a motivation. We need a motivation of love to be willing to introduce people to Jesus. You know, and I really wanted these girls to grow up and to get married. I didn't want them to be alone. And we look at the people around us, and we don't want them to be without Christ. We don't want them to be without a love relationship with God. So I think one of the first ways that we learn how to share is we want people to have love. They want to experience the love of God. So we love for Jesus. You know, we're wanting other people to be in relationship with Christ. So we're like a matchmaker. The next slide, two. The other thing I kind of thought about, if we can come down one, if you'll look, is John, he points people to Jesus. You know, we need to point people to Christ. What did John do? You know, he was baptizing, and all these people were standing around. But he kept, what was he doing? He was always saying, there's this guy coming, there's this man coming, that he's greater than I. He's pointing at the Christ. And here one day he's standing with two of his disciples and he sees Jesus walk by. And what does he do? He points and he says, that's the Lamb of God. Look. You know, and he's basically encouraging these two men. They get up and they follow Jesus and they go after him. That's what we're called to do. We're called to go out and to point people to Christ, and they can go and they follow him. Not follow us, but follow him. And then when they come to Christ, you know, Jesus has a question for everybody. The question that Christ asked people, and it's not the question that we have to ask. It's what the Holy Spirit is going to ask. Jesus is asking people, what are you searching for in life? What are you looking for? So here, you know, they're wanting to know where Jesus is staying, but God knows that people are looking for something deeper in life. That man in the parable that we learned about, who built the big barns, he was looking for something in life. And God will be asking the people around us, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And God will often ask other people through us. We should be asking people, what are you looking for in life? Because I want you to realize that what you're looking for is actually found in God. St. Augustine said, you know, we all have a big hole in our heart, We all have a hole in our heart, an empty place that is a God-sized hole. It's a hole that only God can fill. And so when we share Jesus, we can be confident because we know that people are looking for something. And we can come out of love and come and introduce them, knowing that if they just meet, Jesus can fill that need. We don't have to feel it. Christ will fill it. We just have to have that love to be willing to be a matchmaker. And it's not so easy to be a matchmaker. It's not easy to introduce somebody to Christ. It's not easy to introduce a man to a woman so they can get married. But if you love people, you do it. You know, and a lot of times a mother will always want to give her daughter or her son an introduction to somebody, right? Yeah. You know, if you love your daughter, you want what's good. A little bit of an introduction. You know, because you love them. You know, you want them to have love, and that's what motivates us to share the gospel, tell people about Jesus. In China, in Shenyang, there was a park, Nanhu Gongyuan. It was a park, it was a little lake. And once a week, there was something, it was kind of, to me as an American, very strange. It was really odd. There was a line that somebody, they strung a wire between one tree and then another tree and then another tree. And then standing there were all these older women and older men. And on the line was a little card. There were all these cards. And there would be a little picture on the card. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And then it would say, girl, 23 years old. It would give her height. It would give her weight. We never do that in America. It would give her job and her education. And they would do the same thing with a boy. You know, they would give his education and really important, give his salary. Tabigongza. You know, they would give his salary. And all these old people, they would go up and they would talk and they would look at these cards and then examine them, and they would try to say, well, let me introduce, what are they doing? What do you think? You know, you teenagers, you know what they're doing? See, this is China. You know what they're doing? They're basically saying, this card is my grandson, and I'm looking for a husband or a wife for my grandson, and I'm looking for a daughter, a man to marry my granddaughter. And to me, it's really strange. You know, don't find me a wife, I'll find my own. You know, Mom, you stay out of this. This is my thing. But what is motivating them? What motivates these people to go out week after week and stand and to try to find a good match to to marry their grandson and a good match to marry their granddaughter. They do it week after week. Why? What motivates them to try to find somebody to meet? There's only one thing. Love. It may not sound like love, but underneath I realize it's love. If we love, we want people to meet Jesus. That's what motivates us. If we love, we want people to meet Jesus. If we love other people, we want them to meet Jesus. And if we actually love God, if we really love God, we want other people to meet Jesus. We point them at Jesus like John the Baptist did. And we always struggle with fear. Are you afraid to tell people about Christ? I am. I'll confess that. I think we all have a fear. It's hard. You know, we're afraid. It's very natural. But if we understand that God is already at work, it becomes easier because it's not our responsibility. It's God's responsibility to change the heart. It's our responsibility to tell people about Christ. So in this next slide, as I look down, after pointing to Jesus and following Jesus, I want you to notice who is doing the real calling. There's two things going on. You know, John is telling people to go out. He's pointing people at Jesus. But at the same time, God is at work drawing people to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? No one can come to me unless the Father draw him. No one can come to me unless God is pulling him. But do you know what the flip side of that is? Because God is pulling people towards him, all we have to do is tell them. Because God is at work telling people to follow. Look here. You know, Jesus, he decides, I'm going to go to Galilee. He decides, I'm going to go to Galilee, and he turns around and he comes up to this man. The Holy Spirit's doing the same thing. The Holy Spirit is going out and telling people, follow me. They may not want to, but God in his Holy Spirit is at work. You know, so what does Nathanael do? He simply goes out and he tells. Philip goes out to Nathanael and he says, look, I have found the man that is written about in the law of Moses and the prophets. He doesn't say a whole lot. And the simple truth is, Philip doesn't really understand what he's talking about. Those disciples spent 3 years with Jesus. And at the end of 3 years, they still didn't really understand Jesus. But they told people what they did understand. We don't have to understand everything. We just have to tell people what we know about Christ, and he will be at work. You know, and Nathanael, he's real skeptical. Matter of fact, Nathanael is mean. He's mean. What's that word? Kanbuchi? Is it kanbuchi? He looks down at? You know, he looks down. In English, we say look down the nose at. You know, you look down on people. I'm good. That person cannot be good. And look at what Nathanael is doing. Nathanael is looking down on Jesus. He says, what good thing can come out of Nazareth? Nothing good can come out of that town that Jesus comes from. Therefore, Jesus cannot be good. You know, and we tell people about Jesus, and they'll say the same thing in different ways. They're skeptical, they don't believe, they think it's foolish, they think science is in contradiction with religion. You know, they look down on religious people. And what does Philip do? It's real simple. Philip doesn't argue with him. Come and see. You know, just come and give Jesus an opportunity. Just come and listen to him. for a while. Just come and read his Bible and see for yourself. You know, when we are inviting people to know Jesus, we don't have to argue with them and make them believe everything. To some degree, we just, bit by bit, we share a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and we ask them to come and to look at the Bible and to look to see who Jesus is. So when you're a little bit afraid, remember, you don't have to argue. You don't have to convince them, because God is at work pulling people. God is at work in their lives already, drawing them towards him. And even if they're skeptical, we just say, just try. Just look a little bit with me at what the Bible says about Jesus. And then finally, in the fourth point, toward the end, after following Jesus, can we have the next slide? Is Jesus, in many ways, is very much involved in inviting people to him, but he already knows what's in their heart. We don't have to worry about what their deeper issues are. We just have to say, come see Jesus. What did Philip say? Philip invited him. He said, come and see Jesus. I've always wondered about this. Look at what it says here. Jesus comes up. Jesus is standing here. Nathanael has had a conversation over here. Nathanael, what does Nathanael say? Nothing good can come from Nazareth. Nathanael just said, Jesus cannot be any good. You know, he's from a small town. He's from the countryside. You know, nothing good comes from that small village. It can't be good. Jesus, can I ask you a question? Did Jesus hear that? Yes and no. He was not there. Jesus was not there, but remember, Jesus is God. Jesus hears. You know, he could have come up and Jesus could have rebuked him. Jesus could have challenged him. Jesus could have said, why did you say that about my town? This is what allowed you. How can you speak about my Elijah? You know, you don't talk about. But Jesus didn't. Nathanael comes up, and Jesus looks at him and says, here is a man, look at you. You are a man in whom there is no deceit. That's funny. You just said something really nasty about Jesus, and then Jesus says something really good to him. And Nathanael says, how do you know me? I've never met you. Jesus said, when you were under this fig tree, there's this fig tree, you were under it, and the fig tree is a big tree, round, big leaves. Big leaves. And you're under it. I saw you. Now, that sounds a little strange. I saw you. And then suddenly Nathanael says, you know, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Why would somebody do that? I think about when Elizabeth was a young girl, about 4, all these children would play hide and go seek. You know hide and go seek? And there was a place outside where we lived in the apartment complex, and there were a couple of trees. And around the trees were some bushes so that there was a lot of leaves in there. And the children could go, and they go underneath, and they stand inside, and there's bushes all the way around. And the other children would come looking for them, and they can't see them because there's leaves all the way around. You can't see them. That's what Nathanael was like. Nathanael was under a tree. There's leaves all around, and nobody can see him. What is he doing? What is he doing? But you got to remember, Jesus is God. Jesus can see him. You know, I thought one time in that little area where all the bushes were and the children would go hide, there was something very interesting in the wintertime. All the leaves would fall off in the wintertime. You know, October, November, all the leaves fall off all these bushes. But it was really strange because a lot of children, they still ran, and they ran inside of all of these bushes, and they stood there thinking, nobody can see me, but all the leaves were gone. They could see. That's exactly what it's like when we're hiding from God. People think that they can hide from God, but God sees everything. God knows what's going on in their hearts. I think that the reason Nathanael was so surprised when Jesus said, "You are a man in whom there's no guile," is because of what he was doing underneath a tree. I think underneath the tree, he was hiding and praying. He was thinking about his own heart and his own struggles to try to be honest when he could not be. And I think Jesus heard him, knew what his struggles were, and then comes and Jesus addresses those. And when we go to tell people about Christ, Jesus is not only already pulling people towards him, the Spirit is not only already calling people to follow Christ, but the Holy Spirit knows what's going on inside of their hearts. And we can be confident that when we tell people about Christ, whatever they're looking for, whatever their struggle is, whatever their fear or their guilt or their anxiety is, God already knows what it is, and God can heal it. God can heal that person's heart. And so we share Christ, both because we love him, we love the people around us, but also because we are confident that God is already at work, pulling people towards them, calling and inviting, and already at work in their hearts. Then it becomes a little easier to share. Who is God asking you to share Christ with? Who around you needs to know Jesus, but you are afraid to talk to them? Ask God to show you somebody. Ask God to give you love, and ask God to give you confidence, because he's the one that's at work. We are just the matchmaker. Let me pray. God, I do pray that you'll help us all to be really loving and sharing Christ and sharing the gospel. And we do pray that you would continue to work in the lives of the people around us and help us to be good, faithful servants of yours, messengers of yours. Confident in your work, confident in the Holy Spirit, confident in your sovereign control, and above all, confident that you can heal people's hearts and that you can bring people to the joy that comes with knowing Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.